Thank you for listening to this talk, produced by the Art Gallery of South Australia.
My name is David. I'm one of the gallery guides, and I acknowledge the Kaurna people, Agza Kaurna Yatangi Yuwandi. Agza stands on Kaurna territory. We are grateful for the Kaurna people for their custodianship of the land, their culture, and their continuing devotion to art, actually, which our exhibition Tanandi actually demonstrates, the extraordinary art of Aboriginal people. And we're very grateful for that, and a lot of that art actually comes from Kaurna territory. I should also say to you, Merry Christmas. Or happy holidays, whatever your particular interest is and background is. So happy greetings for the season. In the light of that Christian notion of motherhood and childhood, I was drawn by a couple of works in this gallery to actually explore the theme of motherhood and childhood. And one of those works is by Florence Ada Fuller, and it's this little work over here called Mother and Child. Let me tell you a little bit about Florence. She was born in South Africa. She came to Australia I'm not sure exactly when she came. She came with her parents and two sisters, Christy and Amy, both of whom turned out to be very well-known singers, which is very interesting for me because I love opera. So these two sisters were a very much important part of her life. But when she came to Australia as a young woman in her teen years, she actually studied at the National Gallery School of Art in Melbourne and supported herself by working as a governess throughout that time. But she studied with a number of really interesting people, one of whom was Jane Sutherland, who was a member of the what we sometimes call the Heidelberg School, the Australian Impressionists. So she really had a very interesting training. In addition to being taught by her uncle, Robert Dowling, whose work, The Baptism of Christ, sits over there. So I'll talk a little bit more about him in a moment. But yeah, she studied with Robert just over a year, actually. He'd gone to England as a young man in 1857 and came back in 1884 and became a very well-known portrait painter, which is really interesting to us in terms of Florence's work. And you can see her fascination with portraiture in this wonderful little picture. It really diverges from her uncle's style. He was a very formal painter, an amazing painter in so many ways, and we'll talk a little bit more about him a little bit later. But she developed her own style and her own approach and her own interest in what art can do to tell us about the human condition. And that's really what we see here in this really quite beautiful little painting of intimacy, of caring, of relationship between a mother and a child. The child, interestingly, there are warnings in some publications about this work because it contains nudity. Well, the child is just come out of the bath and she's being hugged by her mother, so I don't see what would actually warrant that warning, but nevertheless, it's really a very beautiful and intimate painting. Quite different from any of the other paintings that we see from that time. It's formal in one sense, but her actual ability to capture the look, the actual features of both mother and child are really quite powerful. And what we see in it is this concentration, the focus, the connection between the mother and child, which is really a very powerful thing in terms of her own specific style. And the colouring is really very interesting. She puts this, as we see with this Tom Roberts portrait here, she puts it against almost a blank background. We don't know where the mother and the child are. They might be in the bathroom, just coming out of the bath, but that doesn't matter. What that negative space behind the two people in the subjects in the image actually does is to focus us, our attention on the two figures, and they're really quite extraordinary. And when we think about that, so yes, this was, I've even forgotten when this was painted, really. It was painted, yeah, somewhere in the 80s and 90s, but it's actually a new acquisition. We've only just obtained this work, which is, I think, a wonderful addition to our collection, particularly in terms of the value of women painters in our country, because Florence Fuller became an extraordinary painter in Australia and in Europe. So she went to Europe after she had studied with her uncle, and studied at different schools in Paris, was actually acknowledged by the Paris Salon and ultimately by the Royal Academy in London. So she was not a slouch as far as art is concerned, and a very powerful painter. The other work in this gallery, which we have had for many, many years now, is this beautiful one called Inseparables, painted in 1900. It really is, again, a demonstration of her very specific style, her very specific approach to art, which is quite different from a lot of the formal art that we see in the gallery and in galleries all over the world, and quite different from her uncle's approach to art. So this is painted in 1900. The power of this work is that it creates another connection. It creates the connection between the young teenage girl's book and herself. He does this by using an artistic technique of focusing, that attention by using the reflection of the book in the little girl's face. So, you know, she's chosen this and worked this subject very, very carefully. And it really is just a wonderfully relaxed work. You know, there's no formality about it. This is a young woman, a young girl, sitting by the fire in a Victorian setting, of course, in London. And so we get that whole sense of the intimacy. The interesting thing is that, different from her mother and child portrait, she gives us a background. So she sets this young woman in a lounge room, a sitting room, a reading room, if you like, on a comfortable chair with the fire going in the background, with pieces on the mantelpiece. Not too much, but there are things there. So it gives us a bit of a hint about what's going on in the young girl's life. Again, it's really a very beautiful work. This was painted in 1900. Prior to that, she had actually been back to South Africa. As I said, she was born in South Africa, and she went back there in 1892 because she was recuperating from something. Nobody knows exactly what, but she was recuperating. In that time, though, she was introduced by her uncle, Sir Thomas Eakins Fuller, who was a Member of Parliament under Cecil Rhodes as the Prime Minister of the Cape of Good Hope government. And so what she did with Rhodes in the first instance was to paint landscape paintings of his land and his house. So like a number of other artists in the, like a lot of other artists in that time, you know, like Eugene von Guerin, who went around Victoria painting people's farmsteads, farms and land and so forth. So artists were actually commissioned to paint people's properties, and that's what she did for Cecil Rhodes. Ultimately, if you don't know, you know who Cecil Rhodes is, don't you? He was actually a huge mining entrepreneur, made a huge amount of money, probably not in the most, you know, upfront and legal ways, and became, you know, very, very well known. And he was actually the founder of the country in Africa of Rhodesia, which is now Zimbabwe. So he was very well known for that. The other thing that she did later in the 1890s was to paint several portraits of him. She did about four or five portraits, and I'm not sure where they are at the moment, but she did a lot of portraits of Cecil Rhodes. So she had all of those extraordinary connections. When she was in Europe, she studied at the Académie Julien, where she was tutored by William Adolphe Bouguereau. Now, you will know him if you remember his painting of the Virgin and Child, again, looking at the Christmas theme, in Gallery 12. It's an extraordinary painting among a collection of amazing portraits by him. A lot of virgins and children, but he was known throughout Europe as the master of features, of human features, and particularly skin tones. When you look at his work, it's like looking at a photograph, because it's, you know, his skin tones are so accurate and so beautiful. He was sort of out of fashion a bit because the Impressionists painting at the time that he wasn't particularly at that time that he painted the Virgin and Child in 1888. The Impressionists were there, so they were less interested in the formal approach to art, were more interested in painting en plein air, looking at the world that we see in natural light. And so that was his very... But nevertheless, she was his student. And I think what we can see in her later portraits, not that we have any of them here, in her later portraits, we can see that extraordinary attention to detail. The other interesting thing about that is, I've forgotten, oh yeah, I know what I was going to say. Look at this. Just in terms of connections with our gallery, I just wanted to show you this little painting by her called Weary. It was painted in 1888, around this. It was just actually a year before the Bouguereau Virgin and Child, and it was actually in the same... No, yes, it was the same year that Thomas Benjamin Kennington did his work called A Pinch of Poverty, again, which is in Gallery 13, and it's certainly worth a look. But what it tells us is that she and artists like Kennington were really interested in the human condition. They were sloughing off the focus on formal art, formal subjects, grand subjects, you know, the religious subjects that we see so much in the great galleries, some here, but mostly that we see in the European galleries, those really formal, grand images from the classics and from religion. She sort of was moving away. Artists were moving away from those images and looking at life. And that's certainly what Impressionism was actually encouraging people to do, was to look at life as it is lived, as it is lived in the natural world in which people exist. So she became a really very important artist. Again, work accepted by the Paris Salon, by the Royal Academy. The other thing about Florence was that she, under the influence of Jane Sutherland, the artist that I talked to you about earlier, under whom she studied at the Victorian National Gallery School of Art, she became interested in theosophy. A lot of artists did that in the late 1800s. And she became a devoted member of the Theosophical Society and painted portraits of all the significant people, Annie Besant, Madame Blavatsky, is that right? Yeah, somebody like that, and a number of other of the people who were significant leaders in the Theosophist movement. So she was doing that. She spent time in London, but she returned to Australia in about 1919 and settled in Sydney. She taught in Sydney figure painting and various other elements of artistic practice. And sadly, by 1927, she had suffered a significant decline in health, in financial circumstances, and was actually admitted in 1927 to the Gladesville Mental Asylum, which meant that, and she lived there for 20 or more years until 1945 when she died, and she died in that place. What that meant was that she wasn't she didn't have people's attention in those last 20 years. And for all of those years, her work sort of became lost. And I think that's one of the great sadnesses about her work. And we've only just more recently started to discover her work and to discover the value of it and the power of it. And that's why this little work is such an extraordinary one. What she did, of course, was under her uncle's tutelage, she developed with him the skill of portrait painting. And he went, he was born in England, but came with his father, who was a Baptist minister, with Robert Dowling was the youngest of eight children, and he studied art in Tasmania. They moved to Tasmania because two of his brothers actually had already moved. They came in about 1834 when Robert was seven. He studied art with Thomas Bock, who was a former convict, but was an amazing painter of portraits and sought after in Hobart and Launceston. So he was a very significant feature person from that point of view. And Robert learnt from him. So anyway, what happened then, of course, was that Florence picked up his skill. Robert went back to England in 1857, where he remained and established this extraordinary career as an artist, and particularly as an Orientalist artist. Now, I don't know whether you understand what that means. Oriental art for European artists in those days was essentially art focused on the Middle East, not the Far East. it was very much focused around the Mediterranean. And artists were absolutely fascinated by the shapes that they saw. And the, if you look at this gallery behind you, you can see that there are a whole collection of Orientalist works, which introduced European artists to all the different shapes and practices in those countries, which they became fascinated by. And so that's really what we see with Robert. If you look, if you can just squiz around a bit, and you can see there's a painting there of Jesus being baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. This was painted in 1863. A fair proportion of Robert Dowling's works were religious ones, in addition to the Orientalist works, in addition to the portrait painting that he engaged in. But this is quite an amazing work, which if, when you get a chance, we won't do it now, but if you can look closely at it, you can see the extraordinary skill and the new approach, actually, that Robert Dowling took to these stippling effects, in that the light in the work is very powerful, actually, and beautifully presented. There's a sort of a stippling effect that he creates with the halo effect around the figure of Christ. The interesting thing about this work is that it was painted in 1863, and not long after that, it was acquired by a church in Scotland. And it sat in a meeting room for decades over the fireplace. And it eventually became invisible. It just was totally blackened out by the soot. We acquired this work because of the gallery's interest in the Dowling heritage. We acquired that in 1918, and we sent it off to Art Lab, which is just next door, to be restored. And so they scrubbed it down, got all the soot off it, and returned it to this amazing image that we have here. But what we see in this is, even though Florence was not really specifically interested in the Christian aspects of her father's works, you can see his influence on her ability as a portrait painter, and that's what we see here. I just wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about another mother and child by a different female artist, Bessie Davidson, who was born in Adelaide of Scottish parents. She studied art here in Adelaide under Rose McPherson, who eventually became Margaret Preston. Actually, we know Margaret Preston probably better than Rose McPherson. In any case, she studied with Rose, and Rose and she went to Europe in the late 1890s to study and to develop their skills in art, and so that's what they did. She came back, and what was interesting about Bessie was that she travelled all over Europe. And was an absorber of European art. She came back to Adelaide in 1914, and this little portrait of the mother and child is actually her sister and the sister's child looking out from her veranda. Again, it's a wonderfully intimate portrait of mother and child. It shows the tenderness and the devotion and all the things that you associate with mothers and children. It's really quite extraordinary. Bessie has another amazing history, and you know, she actually spent most of her time in Paris and in England. Again, works accepted by the Paris Salon and by the Royal Academy in London. So she really spent a lot of her, all of her time there. She was in Adelaide at the time that she painted the mother and child, but when the war broke out, she headed off straight away to join the war effort and ran a hospital in France, actually. And she did that throughout the whole of the First World War. She then, of course, after the war, returned to painting and developed her skills, studied with all sorts of people, and became an extraordinarily well-known artist in Europe and in Australia to a certain extent. But of course, because she wasn't here, people didn't pay that much attention to her, but they certainly have now. But she remained in France until she died in, I think it was 1967. But she was actually given the honour of the Légion d'honneur by the French government because of her devotion to France, because of all that work that she did in the war, but throughout and following the war. She was like Anne Dangar, who's another Australian artist who went to France and spent the whole of the Second World War in France, stayed there and worked. And she, Bessie, also stayed there. So she was essentially a French artist, really, in the end. But she was born here in Adelaide and quite extraordinary. And that's why I thought, you know, these two amazing women present us with something wonderful to think about, particularly at this time, the power of women, the place of women in art, in our lives, and all of the things that we value. They really are quite amazing artists, and we're very lucky to have these works with our gallery, in our gallery. So there we are. Thank you.